Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been the last 2 months?
I've been really good. How have you been?
You've been in hiding. You know, the last time I talked to you was on November 12th.
Has it been that long? I thought it was actually longer than that.
2 months ago.
That's pretty sad.
I left you with Lost in the Closet.
Well, I blame you.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to clear that up.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. Little better, yeah.
Well, okay, I accept it. I accept all the blame.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was thinking about talking to you because of some stuff I was watching, and we talk other than on the podcast, in case people don't know. But I was thinking about, like, the stuff that you think about that's psychological,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus physical.
Okay.
Well, that's what we were talking about, right?
Yes.
Like sleep. We were talking about sleep and how I don't sleep real well. And I was saying, like, it's probably because of what, like, stress and what I think about. And you were saying, nah, you probably have sleep apnea, which is physical.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking it's psychological. But I started watching this episode of Louie. Do you ever watch Louie?
I don't.
Okay, you got to start watching Louie.
Okay, I'll put that on my note.
Because the best part about Louie is like an iceberg of psychology. There's a little bit on top, and then underneath the water, you know, there's this huge volume of meaning that you don't see literally that they talk about in the show.
Okay.
And it's a great show. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to deconstruct Louie episodes on these podcasts.
How often is he on?
Well, he's not on at all now. So you have to get, like, reruns of him. But even the reruns are good. He took like 2 years off because he wanted to spend, he needed more lifetime to make, to get material. Because all his material's from real life.
Well, that makes sense. I can understand that.
And I was thinking, too, that the people that have these fan cast podcasts like Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and all that, you know, they mm-hmm. kind of adhere to a structure. Like, they watch the show and then they discuss, like, scene one, scene two, scene three, on all the way through the episode. But the best part, I think the best part of episodes or the best part of podcasts are the spill, where people talk about stuff that's outside of that episode, just like their human interpretation of it.
You know, I agree.
What spills over into their own lives. So.
Yeah, and the meaning behind maybe what you've seen or how it relates to you or some situation. I completely agree.
Yeah. So when I was talking to you, like, we text a lot. So I was texting to you and I asked you, like, would you ever like a guy to order for you in a restaurant?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to tell the world what you told me?
I think it would be interesting. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Of course, I mean, I don't know. I guess it would matter if it were maybe a first dinner with somebody or somebody who didn't know you at all, who just want. Maybe it would have more to do with their motive for doing it than. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll throw this stuff at you from this Louie episode, and you tell me what you think. So,
okay.
So his uncle, his long lost uncle, calls him from like wherever, from some far place, and he goes, "Okay, meet me at the Russian Tea Room. I need to talk to you." And it totally interrupts Louie from his life, you know, his stupid mundane life. But he goes and meets his uncle, and he sits down with his uncle, and his uncle goes, two Cornish hens to the waiter. He, like, totally orders for Louie. So I know, like, this is a little bit of a curveball because you're thinking, like, a date thing. But his uncle's, like, you know, this 70-year-old guy, Louie's whatever, 45, and he orders two Cornish hens. And Louis starts, and so they have the meeting, and they're in their meeting and their lunch or whatever. The uncle says, "You need to go talk to your dad. Go see your dad." And so Louis starts to go through the rest of his day, and he goes and plays poker with his buddies, and he starts to get sick to his stomach and gets a rash. I think I told you in the podcast I wanted to talk to you about, like, vomit and rashes.
Yeah.
So he starts to get sick and he has this rash. So he goes to the doctor and the doctor goes, the things in your life are too big to take in, so they come out of your skin and your stomach. So it's not physical, like the sleep apnea. It's like psychological. And that's kind of the whole logic of Louis. Like, he throws out these like little hints of what's going on, and then you figure out the whole rest of it.
I mean, did we check the Cornish hen to make sure?
No, there wasn't it's some not kind of the physical. It's like the poisoning. Total, the whole premise.
I don't know how I feel about developing a rash. I know you can get, you know, hives from, a lot of people do, specifically from various things as far as stressful situations and histamine reactions and stuff like that, or whatever it might be. But I don't know that I think that you ingest so much mentally that it comes out in a rash, unless of course it just creates a stressful situation. You're prone to doing that during stress, maybe.
All right, well, I'm not going to let you destroy my premise in the first 10 minutes of the podcast.
Sorry, go ahead.
Louis gets on the plane. His dad lives in Boston, and I think he's in New York, so he has to go to Boston. So he's on the plane, and then the final descent, the airplane's landing, and the voice comes on over the airplane speaker, and it's like, this is a final descent into Logan in Boston, where your father lives. Like, it's totally like, you know, invading his thoughts. And he goes, gets a rental car, and he throws up on the rental car, and the girl on the speaker comes out like, you can't throw up on a rental car, be a man, go to your father's house. And so then he's driving along in the rental car, and the GPS goes, you missed the turn to your father's house. You know, it's all like all these subconscious things are happening to him.
Sure.
Yeah. So he knocks on the door, and you see this shadowy figure like approach the door from the inside, but you never see who it is. And he just turns around and bolts. He just runs away. He gets on the, he goes out to the street, and he hops on this motorcycle, and he like drives this motorcycle away, and he gets to the harbor, and he sees a cigarette boat, this big speedboat, and he jumps into the speedboat and like speedboats away. And he's like tearing away out of Boston Harbor, and then he just he gets out into the ocean, like far away from everything, and he just starts laughing, like I'm safe again. And he's in the ocean in this bobbing cigarette boat, and he just starts laughing, and you know, you think, wow, he's kind of got back to normal. Then you realize he's just drifting, like the boat's just sitting there drifting. And they let that scene go on for like, I don't know, like a minute, you know, like longer than it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize he's back to just drifting again. Like, he didn't really solve anything. You know,
yeah,
it's like
he went through all that for nothing, kind of.
Yeah, right. Like, it's still there. He didn't resolve anything. And he didn't, I don't know why his uncle wanted him to meet his dad, but, and you never do it either as the part of the audience. But it's really interesting because he's, I don't know, it just makes you think all the spill stuff, like outside of the framework of the show, it makes you think like, okay, how do I feel about my dad? And how do I feel about this and that? And, no, it's just interesting.
That is interesting. It's interesting because it does make you think about stuff like that. But it also makes me think, when you were talking about it, I started thinking about, did he know why he was going to talk to his dad? Did it insinuate that he did or didn't know? Because I'm assuming he didn't know.
No, he doesn't. You never know. And that's the magic of it, because it's like, well, what if I had to go see my dad? What, you know, I wonder why my dad would want to see me. You know, you don't hear from the dad. You just kind of hear this nebulous message from the uncle. Like, your dad needs to see you. You need to go see him. Like, and you wonder why, like, so you can put, so it like, it allows you to put it into your own context, you know, in your own words, your own life, frame it into your own lifestyle. You know,
so like, do we know if he's seen his dad in how much time has passed since he's seen his dad? Is he in contact with his dad? We don't know anything.
No, all you know, and all you have to resolve, all you have in your tool chest to resolve the problem, is that he had to see his dad and he couldn't face him. So it's perfect. It's like, it leaves you to, you know, construct your own arguments about like, well, what problems did I have with my mom or dad, and how do I need to resolve them? I think it's just genius the way he does it.
Yeah. And it's I'm actually sitting here deep in thought about it as you're saying that stuff. There's so many things to think, and so much I'm picturing with him, something pretty dramatic because most people don't have that kind of reaction to going to visit a parent, I wouldn't think.
Or maybe it was like really dramatic, or maybe it was like nothing. Like, I never got enough from my dad. Like, he never loved me, or he never, you know, connected with me enough. And now here's my chance. And then he gets his chance, but he backs away from it because it's too scary. I don't know. I just really like that show. I think it's a great way to figure out like parts of your own life, or at least examine parts of your own life.
And it had to have been funny in a way, too,
it's
right?
It's totally funny. It's hilariously funny.
Good, because you're saying this stuff, and I haven't seen it. And I'm sitting here, it's kind of, it's amusing, some of the stuff you're saying, but I don't want to come across as this cold-hearted person when this guy's dealing with this. But you're saying his GPS is kind of nagging at him and getting personal, so.
Yeah, it's like hilariously funny. It's like funny and terrible, too, you know? While I was waiting for you to come online here, I watched like a part of a second one, and like, you know, he's with his girlfriend, like his girlfriend at a restaurant, and he's arguing with her, and she's like, I can't even break up with you because we're nothing. Like, they were like dating, but not serious enough to break up. So they were like her problem was like, what do I even call this? You're not even my boyfriend. I can't even break up with you, but I'm leaving. It was funny. Then he goes, like, later on in that one, he goes to, he gets in an accident or something, and she has to, you know, she comes over, and she's like, trying to take care of him a little bit. And he's like, well, why don't you stay? And she's like, well, what do you mean stay? What does that mean? What do you mean by stay? Like, do you mean stay for dinner? Stay and, like, put some bandages on me, or stay, like, overnight? You know, have you ever had that in your life?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, I completely get her. What does that mean? Girls like everything. I think a lot of girls like everything defined. I think that's a whole lot more a girl thing than a guy thing, as a general rule.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny to see it, though, because it's like he didn't think it out. He not only didn't think it out, he didn't want to define it. Like, he wanted to just throw it out there and be safe from that vague statement to see what she did. Like, he didn't want to tell her, I want you to stay. I want you to stay overnight. I want you to be my girlfriend. I don't want you to wonder what it is to break up, because you're my girlfriend. And if you break up, that means you're not my girlfriend. Like, he didn't want to put the parameters on it, you know?
So what do you think about that?
I totally think guys do that. I know I've done that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, present company accepts it, absolutely. But I think it's kind of cowardice. It's kind of putting the stuff on the girl to,
right? Because you know what she says. Then she says something like, "Be a man. You know, save us 3 years. Be a man. Tell me."
That's great. I love that.
I've had girlfriends tell me that, like, "Be a man. Just put your foot down and be a man and decide something." It's really hard to hear that, but it's like pretty valid, you know.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, you can't take every cue from the female. It has to be something from you, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I agree. That's what I'm getting at, like, with the spillover from the show, though, because you can watch this show and it, like, just comment about the scenes. But what's really interesting is, like, how you relate to it with your real life. He orders, like, coffee and ice cream. And she comes a little bit after him. She sits down. She just looks at what he's eating and, like, shakes her head. Like, you know, that's like a totally kid thing, right? If a kid got into a restaurant with with money enough to buy whatever they wanted, they'd just buy ice cream.
Where's he from? Where's the show set? Do you know?
New York.
New York? Yeah. I don't know. Are men, I mean...
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it is.
You don't think it matters? Oh, it matters. It matters. Men are different. Southern guys, I think, are... You don't usually have to, you know, flounder around very much to find out where you stand as much, I don't think.
I don't know.
With guys from the South. No?
I don't know. I think it's a universal message. Guys are afraid to explain themselves and be clear and communicate, and women are, like... Women need that. Women need to hear that, you know?
You might be right.
The whole thing about save us 3 years, just tell me what you've, tell me how you feel. You know, guys don't want to say how they feel. It's perfect. It's such a perfect model of like all relationships.
Is it? Because you see, I agree in that relationship completely, but if I think the guy's saying everything, I think by him saying nothing, he's really saying a lot. Because when guys know what they want, there's not a lot that keeps them from it.
That's not true.
You don't think that's true?
No, guys are like blocked by fear a lot of times. They don't do what they want because they're afraid of what might happen.
Yeah, but if they're really driven towards something, it seems like it's kind of harder to block that. I know in instances with guys, and I'm not speaking specifically about myself, but in instances with guys that you see, they can be, which I'm sure girls can too, but that's just not what I'm talking about. But they can be almost obsessive in trying to let you know how they feel and how much they like you and that kind of thing, depending on if they really do, you know. Back to the movie, you know, he's just not that into you. And it tells you, if a guy's into you, you know he's into you. You don't have to ask him those questions.
Right.
And I believe that.
Right. But I think the main message is like guys' trouble with communication. Like guys' inability to express themselves.
No, I don't think it's a communication thing. I think they know how to express it. I think it's a lack of wanting to commit to what they are being asked. Make a commitment. Come down on one side or the other.
It's safer to not expose yourself.
And they don't know. And that's okay. It's okay that they don't know. Because I think if they know, they'll tell you. If a guy really doesn't like you, they don't care to tell you.
Right.
You know, I just don't feel that way. And if a guy really does like you, they don't care to tell you. They'll tell you most of the time. Unless you're putting off some kind of ambivalent vibe to them or something. But I think they just don't know. And I think that by them not knowing, as hard as it is for girls to hear, because girls really don't like that, that means that it's just not there.
Yeah. So here's another brilliant part of the show. Like later on in that episode, Louis parking his motorcycle and he sees like a parking sign on the street and it's like, no parking after midnight. Parking only for commercial vehicles. Parking from here to corner, okay. Like on one post, there's like four different symbols of like where it's okay and not okay to park. And he's looking at it. He's like standing there like, what the hell? Is it okay to park here? And then another guy pulls up and he's looking at it with him. He's like, what the hell does that all mean? Like it's a total mystery. Like, is it okay or not okay to park? It's a totally great symbol based on like the rest of the episode. Like, this is so vague. All the stuff that's coming to me is so vague. I don't understand it.
Now, this is the one with the girl.
Yeah, that was later on, the one with the girl.
Yeah. Maybe it's kind of him getting a little karma.
Yeah, I think it's just reinforcing like the theme of that particular show, you know.
The vagary?
Just different messages, different signs, you know. Literally four different signs on the same post giving four different messages. It's like, like one of them was like, it's okay to park after midnight. And so Louis like turns to the guy and goes like, well, it's before midnight. And the guy goes, yeah, but it's after midnight too.
Yeah. I think that's pretty interesting stuff.
So then like to make a totally complete circle out of this, in the commercials during Louis, they're all like Bacardi and like dating and testosterone pills and, you know, it's like all male stuff. And even one of them was a CPAP machine.
That is great.
To put a like perfect exclamation on your sleep apnea.
That's great. That's great. Because see, that's saying maybe it's not psychological after all.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all physical. But I don't think they were probably taking that into account when they were taking the, you know, commercial
right.
advertising into consideration.
But it's like reflective of the audience watching. You know, they know it's like guys, a bunch of confused caveman guys like sitting there. Huh?
So is the show more geared to men? Do you
I think so. I mean, based on what I've talked about with you here, what do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I would guess it might be because, I don't know, though. They've kind of got women pegged, too. We want to know.
Yeah, but, I think it would be interesting to women.
But women that, I don't know, it's kind of bold to ask, don't you think?
Bold to ask what?
Where are we? Say this 3 years. I think you have to be at a certain point to say that kind of stuff yourself.
Right, but I mean, there's definitely strong women, but it's what guys hear and it's what guys like cringe away from, you know, in their weakness. Like, well, I can't really tell you if I want to be in a relationship. I don't know. I think it's pretty brutal. I think it's probably for guys mainly because it's all Louis's, you know, perspective. But I think women would enjoy it.
Well, I think that's fun. I think we should definitely do it. I would love to watch it and take down some notes on some stuff that it makes me think of. Because just hearing you talk about it, it definitely sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, plus it's funny. And they even had a commercial for American Horror Story.
Oh, did they really?
So your favorite show. So it must be
it
on
is.
That. It must be on that channel.
And it's kind of funny because I was actually the reason I couldn't sign on to do this any earlier is because I was watching the latest American Horror Story.
Oh my god!
to even bring it more full circle, and Stevie Nicks guest starred, and she actually sat at a piano, played the piano, and sang two songs on this show.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
What did she sing?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Did she sing the one about the witch?
I don't know.
Rhiannon?
Yes.
I think that's
she
about...
She sang that one. And then she sang it, of course, to a witch on the show. And at the piano in this coven. And then at the end, she sang another. And it was just... It was great. That was the best American Horror I've seen. I can't believe they got her on there and got her to do that. Just her and a piano. And it was just, I was blown away. I thought it was fabulous.
If not for me, then do it for the world. Let you.